If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Have a cup of coffee and...
stay warm.
It's cold out there. You see the water?
Oh, I know. I know. I got the neatest picture this morning at sunrise, looking out the studio window. Of course, you close all the blinds in there, so you don't look out at anything.
I don't want anyone looking at me while I'm performing.
But I got the coolest picture.
You're not going to say anything about me saying I'm performing?
Well, you are performing, yes. Overperforming or underperforming, that remains to be seen.
Like every Sunday morning, I feel like I'm doing Hamlet. I close the blinds because...
You want privacy.
No, the light reflects on the window.
Oh, I know it does. And sometimes I have to close some of the blinds in here because it really reflects
in.
I
can't see. And everything in the studio is computer screens. So the light from outside reflects on the computer screens, and I can't see anything. And I figure I make enough mistakes on my own. I don't need Mother Nature helping me. But the cool picture to which Schwani refers, have you posted it?
No, I haven't posted it yet.
So people can see what you're talking about?
I guess I should now.
Yeah.
I'll send it to producer Eli. And
why, you can't do it yourself?
Well... You know, these younger people, they're all
You don't know how to post a picture?
Well, I go to the post office all the time.
My 97-year-old mother could post a picture.
Well, we can both post it. We're both allowed to.
Okay. Well, I'll send it to you, Eli, and then you can post it, and then I can try to do it.
No, I'm too important to post a picture.
I did not say that.
He's got a newsroom to run.
That's right.
Very, very busy. I can't post a picture. The river is steaming. That was the point. I don't think we ever said that.
By the time this show is over, I'm going to be steaming,
yeah,
too.
By the time this show is over, it's going to be summertime, and people are going to be enjoying winter outside there. Ba-da-ba-da-da-ba. I wanted to play the whole thing because of the occasion. Yesterday was Dick Van Dyke's 100th birthday. 100 years old for the great Dick Van Dyke, and he's still kicking out at his home in Malibu. Still, every once in a while, he posts a video. He can post videos, by the way, Schwani, also. 100-year-old man.
Well,
he can post videos.
I saw this great quote from him yesterday saying, "Sometimes I feel like I'm 15 years old."
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Don't you kind of feel that way?
That I'm 15?
Well, that you don't feel your age.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah. Right.
No, I feel much older.
I was talking to somebody about that very thing last night that, you know, we're easily senior citizens. AARP is done with us.
Oh, I know.
But
yes.
Yet you still feel like your mindset is like it was when you were, I don't know, 15, but 20 or 30, 40, right?
Yes, and there are times when I'm in restaurants that I get the senior discount without even asking for
That's
it.
That's a little insulting when that happens. I've had that happen. It's like, how do you know I'm a senior? How do you know I just haven't taken care of myself and I look terrible?
Probably not complaining about the discount, though, right?
No.
Oh, no. Because sometimes it's 30 or 40 cents. So, but anyway,
then they ask if you need help out the door.
Do you want us to pre-chew your food for you, sir? Spit it in your mouth like a little bird. last week we had the producer of the Dick Van Dyke documentary, which is in select theaters only. Today's the last day. It was yesterday and today for Dick Van Dyke's birthday. We had the producer on. Last week we played my interview that I did with Dick Van Dyke. So, you know, because we wanted to commemorate the day. 100 years old.
And I'm thinking that... Outside of Larry Matthews, who played Richie, their son, Dick Van Dyke and Larry Matthews are the only two left from the regular staff member, or the regular cast.
The regular cast,
the show.
All the rest are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was such an amazing show. Hilariously funny.
Still is.
Such a good show.
It still is. And in many respects, it wasn't just, you know, the play between Rob and Laura, but it was, you know, in the office with Sally and Buddy.
Right.
And I was always waiting to see what Maury Amsterdam would do to insult Mel Cooley.
They very wisely, I mean, they knew they had an amazing cast, and they very wisely focused certain episodes just on the side cast.
Correct.
I mean, there were Sally episodes. There were
when she was with Herman Glimcher, her boyfriend.
Glimcher. there were Buddy episodes.
Heard that name.
Everybody thought that he was fooling around on his wife Pickles. Another great name.
Pickles.
But when really he was just being bar mitzvahed, he had never been bar mitzvahed.
Oh, that's a great episode.
That's a fantastic episode. And there are Laura episodes.
Where she confesses on a game show that Alan Brady is bald.
Bald. Or the, you know what is genius acting? The episode with the inflatable raft.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking
about. Yes.
It's like it's in a package which is addressed to Rob. And the whole premise is husbands and wives opening each other's mail without permission. And Laura claims she doesn't do it. And then this package arrives that's addressed to Rob, and she's so curious. She's like kicking it around. She's walking past it. It's brilliant acting by Mary Tyler Moore in that. But Dick Van Dyke is one of the great comedians.
Was a very physical comic.
I was going to say, one of the great physical comics of all time. So I wish him many more years. I wish him healthy, happy years, happy 100th birthday.
You know, there was one episode where in grade school particularly, you'd have a parent come in to talk about what they do, you know, for their job, making a living. And
I know where you're going.
And then Richie invited his dad to come in, and he started talking about his work, and the kids were going, huh?
Yeah, they were not
it wasn't going off too well.
Comedy writer.
And then all of a sudden, he trips in front of the class, and they all laugh.
Right.
And then that broke the ice. He said, you know why you laughed? Because you didn't expect that to happen. And then he went into the whole bit, and it turned out to be terrific.
Yeah. Yeah, it was such a good show. I mean, Richard Deacon, Mel Cooley was... Carl Reiner was the genius behind the show. He was the producer. He wrote many of the episodes.
Now, did Mel Brooks have anything to do with it at all? Chiefly Carl Reiner?
I think it was Carl Reiner and his staff of writers. Sheldon Leonard was
one
of the producers on that show, who was in the movie It's a Wonderful Life as Nick. Was it Nick the Bartender?
It was Nick the Bartender, yes.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, shoot, two pixies go! That's it!
Eli and Tony, do you have any idea what Grandpa and Grandpa 2 are talking about?
You know, I've never actually seen the show, but my dad has watched it, and I've seen him watch the reruns.
Dick Van Dyke Show you've never seen?
No, I mean, I've never really sat down and actually watched it.
Yeah, it's okay if you haven't.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, I know who he was, but I never...
Right.
Or I know who he is.
It's all right. It's all right. You're both dead to me, but...
It was a good run.
Hey, you know what? Let me bring Tony into the conversation. How much do you have to love the Bears to go sit out in Soldier Field today?
You know, that's what we were discussing earlier today. Because, I mean, as much as anybody would love to go to the game, or even if somebody offered you free tickets, I still don't know if I'd take them up on it today.
I cannot think of one thing I like enough to sit outside in this weather. If the Beatles got back together again and said we're going to sing at Soldier Field, I think I might take a pass on that.
I don't know about that.
You're going to go sit in 2 below 0 weather.
If the Beatles were going to reunite?
Yes, that is my question.
Even I had an opportunity to go? I think I would.
Now, I don't like
just if they played one song, I would go.
I don't like anything.
It's not going to happen.
I can't think of one thing that I like enough that I would sit outside for like 2 hours.
I'll tell you what, though, this is probably the cheapest you're ever going to get Bears tickets for.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that is true.
We had a quote from someone who came in from out of town and found some very cheap tickets because of the weather situation.
You know, this is...
It's still not the coldest game they've ever had out there, though.
What was the coldest one?
So, I think it was 2008... when the temperature was only 2, it's supposed to be 10 by noon.
Oh, by game time.
Yeah.
By game. Because it's 2 below now, you said, right?
It's 0. It's 0.
Oh, it's gone up.
Well, let's see. It might be at the lakefront. We're looking at 1 above right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the ticket prices right now at Soldier, and the cheapest seats all the way up in the nosebleed with the obstructed views, those are still going for like $70 to $80. Oh, and then your classic like lower bowl seats, you're looking at $300, $400 for those.
I guess that is that cheap.
I would not at think. All.
I'll bet it is.
No, it doesn't seem
$300 for 2 tickets.
Well, they'd be twice that if the weather was perfect. I'll bet.
Yeah, because I know next week for the Packers, I think the cheapest ones out there right now are $400.
See?
Yeah, there's no. When the game is on, you know, I don't know if a lot of you people know this. They put the games on television. You can sit in your warm house and eat snacks. And
yeah, I figured out how to do that last week.
Watch exactly the same thing. Do you get a lot more by being there when you're freezing? I mean, I've been to opening days at Wrigley Field where it's snowing and it's cold. Not this cold, but it's, you know, like 20 degrees or something and like a blizzard snowing. I've sat out there in Wrigley Field because it's opening day. I'm like, what am I? This is crazy.
I think you're no fan.
I was going to say, I think people figured, too, there's not many home games left this year, so they might as well get out there.
I guess so.
Well, I'm going to be there.
You wouldn't go if it was a nice day. What are you talking about?
I was telling Tony and Eli earlier today, a long time ago, during the Mike Ditka era, I had a chance to go to a Monday night game, and it was not this cold, but pretty darn cold. And we made it. We stayed through the whole game.
God bless you. I would rather...
Those were quite the days, I'll tell you there, young fella.
Yeah, this new invention, television. You can sit at home and watch exactly the same thing. And
But at the same time...
Not get frostbite. Yeah, thank you, OB. That's exactly right. Oh, speaking of snacking, I have a new holiday pet peeve.
What is it?
You know, when you're at some, like, a holiday party, you know, there's holiday parties going on all over the place these days. You're at a holiday party, and they have bowls of, like, nuts. They have bowls of, you know, snacks, little bowls. And people stick their dirty fingers into the peanuts to take a bunch of them when there's a perfectly good spoon sitting right there.
So, yes, right.
So you can, like, spoon the snacks out put them in your dirty paw.
And tongs for cookies and other appetizers out there.
Yeah, but people are like, wow, I'm going to put my hand in that.
And they just dig right in.
Wait, first let me sneeze into my hand first, and then I'll put my hand into it.
That's your new pet peeve?
That's my the pet peeve. It's always bothered me, but
I'm trying to keep track of all of them.
Of my pet peeves?
Yes.
You don't have that kind of time, my friend. I got news for you. All right. Well, let's get things started here with the Weekend Health coming up in just a minute. And, you know, there are obvious, you know, things that we need to remember in the super cold weather. We'll talk about that with Dr. Santina Wheat in a second. Phantom of the Opera has just opened in Chicago. And there is an actor by the name of Isaiah Bailey who came on WGN Midday News the other day. And I interviewed him. And then he sang Music of the Night, the song, the signature song from Phantom. And it was one of the most beautiful, gorgeous performances I have ever heard in my life. And we're going to share that with you. And Isaiah Bailey will be live with us this morning as well for a little short show before Hemp and OB. Can you imagine OB out in that cold weather?
Well, you know, really, we should talk to them. Maybe they can discuss this about their experiences.
Yeah, can you imagine the players? Can you imagine the players out there?
That's what I'm asking. You know, what is it like? What did they do to, you know, stay warm in weather like this?
Well, if they get here early enough, we'll ask them.
Okay.
Usually,
and we'll have Andy ask them.
Usually, it's a okay. I mean, on their show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'd rather leave something like that good for my show.
Oh, because it's all about you.
It is all about me.
Me.
That's right. Follow-up text is something that we were talking about. 224 area code. I was at the Bears Saints NFC Championship game in 07. It was cold enough and a blizzard. I like my lazy boy now.
Yeah.
I hear you 1,000%, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a little something to warm the cockles of your heart. It's the far-flung forecast. The frozen far-flung forecast. Throw one more F word in there. Our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. Each week presented to you by Jack Frost himself. Jack? Mr. Frost?
Well, thank you very much, Uncle
Hey,
Dean.
Wait a minute. My compass is frozen.
Well, we don't have to go all that far today. And as a matter of fact, when I mention the name of the municipality in which we are visiting, you'll know right away why I'm mentioning
it. What the deal is?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
Because, my friends, get out your compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices.
Hey, wait a minute. My tongue is stuck to the protractor.
Frozen or thawed, because we go downstate, as they say, to Danville, Illinois.
Oh.
You know why I mentioned Danville, Illinois, don't you? Danville, Illinois was incorporated in 1827. So think about this. They're going to have their 200th anniversary in less than a year and a half now.
Yeah.
It was founded by one of two people, one of whose name was Dan Beckwith, hence the name Danville.
I always wondered
about that. Danville.
I gotcha.
And then they had a post office that was founded there also around 1827. But of course, we bring up Danville, Illinois today because it is the birthplace of the one and only Dick Van Dyke, who turned 100 years old. And don't forget his brother, Jerry, grew up there.
Yeah.
You know, I was
Gene Wilder grew up there.
Well, Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman. And
right.
And you mentioned Gene Hackman, and this just goes into a list of a wealth of talent that came out of Danville. Dick Van Dyke, his brother Jerry, Gene Hackman, the entertainer and pianist and singer Bobby Short is from Danville, and dancer Donald O'Connor was from Danville also. Yep. Amazing.
You know what another claim to fame is of Danville? I ate at the Danville Denny's once.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And
that's the claim to fame.
Did you get your senior citizen discount there?
I may not have been a senior citizen then.
Well, this may not surprise you, but Danville, Danville, Illinois.
Hey, wait a minute. You just automatically put that on my check. Wait a second.
Can we help you out of your chair, sir?
Sir? All right. Are you done
amusing
yourself?
Do you need assistance?
You're done amusing yourself.
Danville has pretty much the same weather that we have right now. It's one below in Danville right now. A high of only 6 above today.
Oh, that makes my bones creak.
I'll tell you what. My lumbago.
It's 9:39, and this is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. super cold morning. We'll update weather and all the top stories in just a bit. Let's get to our Week in Health segment, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Joining us, as always, Dr. Santina Wheat from Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, good morning, and I hope you're keeping warm wherever you are.
Good morning. Yes, I am staying warm this morning.
So let me ask the, you know, question that, you know, people say, you know, why do you mention this? Everybody knows it's cold outside. Obviously, we, you know, everyone wants to stay as warm as possible. At what point, though, does it actually become dangerous to be outside?
Yeah, so it can be dangerous to be outside if you start to experience frostbite. If you're not staying warm enough, then the blood doesn't move through your body quite as well. And it can increase the risk of just regular activities of causing additional challenges with your heart and other things. So it becomes very serious very quickly. But the thing we worry about the most quickly really is that frostbite, thinking about your ears, your nose, your fingers, your toes.
How do you know when there is the onset of frostbite? Is there a way to feel that?
So sometimes you start to feel like a tingling sensation, or you start to not feel those areas. And then you can actually sometimes just start to see the color of your fingers and your extremities just start to change. And so we can see it happening.
What about breathing this cold weather? Is it dangerous for some?
For some people, it can be, especially for those who have lung disease already. And so it can be helpful to wear a scarf or something over your mouth to try to help warm the air up as it's coming in. But it's just one of those things that you might not want to stay out in it for too long.
All right. What about, is this the day that you let the kids go outside and play even for a little while, or is it just better to call this an inside day for the kids?
I mean, I would call this an inside day. I don't think it's wrong to go outside and play for very, very short periods of time. But by the time you get all bundled up to be warm enough to be out there, it probably is not worth it. So if you can have some good activities for them inside, then that would probably be the better choice.
Yeah. Now, what about, trying to warm yourself up? I mean, you come inside and your hands are, you know, cold, hopefully not numb. If they are, you probably need to get to a doctor if they're numb, right? But some people might put their hands under warm water or hot water. Is that a good idea?
So usually I recommend not starting with hot water. That can actually cause more damage, particularly if you can't feel how hot it is. And so I recommend starting with cooler water and then getting it to start warming up slightly after that to let your body temperature rise up a little bit more slowly.
Okay. What about a warm beverage to cool us, to warm us up, I guess? I guess a hot chocolate would be mighty tasty or something, but some people are going to go for like a hot toddy or something with alcohol in it. That's not a good idea, is it? I mean, for warming up?
I mean, I agree with you. I would stay away from the alcohol for warming up. I don't think that something like hot chocolate, hot tea, hot cider, I think those are all great ways to warm up and get some fluids in us. The alcohol can make us obviously not as make the same decisions that we would have without alcohol. And so that is what I would be worried about. It also can cause you to be dehydrated as well. Yeah. And so we want to make sure that we're making good decisions and staying hydrated, particularly in these times.
All right. All right. Very good. There's our mandatory cold weather warnings that we go over them all the time. But, you know, people forget these things when they go outside. So take some necessary or obvious precautions. Flu numbers are up, right? That's a little bit disturbing. Not a surprise, I guess.
Yes.
But talk to me a little about that.
Yeah, so we are seeing rises in the flu pretty much all across the country. We haven't seen super high numbers here in Chicagoland yet, but it's definitely on the rise. And there, some other states are seeing much more than we are, and especially as people are thinking about starting to travel for holiday events, for spending time with their loved ones if their children have breaks. then we might be seeing that rise even faster. And this year, we do know that there is a different strain of the flu that's going around. And so some of us are worried that we will see it rise even faster this year, kind of like we did last year.
So, you know, smart precautions of, well, what are the precautions? Let me ask you then, how do we avoid getting the flu?
My first recommendation always is to consider getting the influenza vaccine. It doesn't always prevent you from getting the flu, but does help you not get as bad of an impact of the flu. And then past that, it's all of the normal things that we recommend for avoiding every virus out there, making sure you're washing your hands, making sure that you're getting good rest and eating well so that your immune system is as strong as possible, cleaning all of the surfaces around you that are especially high touch, thinking like the doorknobs, things that you touch often, your phone. We tend to forget about our phones sometimes. And then if you're going out in public and there's lots of people that are sick around you, consider masking up. And if you are sick yourself, stay home so that we're not spreading it to other people.
Yeah, what about flu shots just before the holidays? We're 10 days away from Christmas. If you get your flu shot now, it should be taken effect by the time 1225 comes around, right?
It'll be just about there. Usually we say it's about 2 weeks, so it's pretty close. Definitely would get you taken care of for the New Year's events that happen as well. So absolutely think it is still a good idea to get your flu vaccine. That will help for that. And then we often do see another wave of flu that comes in the new year, and so it would be helpful for protecting against that too.
Okay. Today is the fifth anniversary of the very first COVID vaccine that was ever administered. It reminded me of those early days when, remember people standing in line for blocks and blocks and blocks to get a COVID vaccine? You know, it was like a big deal if you were able to get in someplace to get your COVID vaccine. That was 5 years ago. And the very first person was a woman out of, Long Island, New York. Sandra Lindsay was her name. She was the very first person to get the very first COVID vaccine. Now with all kinds of controversy, but I think the health community would still tell you it's a good idea to be vaccinated with, the latest that's out there right now, because COVID, well, it may not be the same death sentence that it was in the very beginning, it still is pretty severe if you would happen to get COVID, right?
Absolutely. We still can see people that have severe lung complications, and more we're seeing people have impacts of lung COVID or inflammations for other things that worsened because they got COVID. And some of the new studies are coming out that are looking at the long-term effects of having that COVID vaccine. And when they look at how many times people went to the emergency room, how many times people went to urgent care, and even for healthy populations, so thinking young kids that are healthy, it still really helped prevent those trips to the ER. It helped prevent those trips to urgent care. And so as a mom, I would really love to not go to the emergency room with my children, and so being able to prevent that is a great thing.
Yeah, I remember so well these sad stories of people. Usually they were older people. Usually mm-hmm. they were immunocompromised in some way, or they had some other illnesses that made them more susceptible to COVID, the fatality of COVID, these sad stories. A friend of mine at the time was working at the University of Illinois Hospital, and he was telling me, you know, what it was like to be in the hospital setting during all of that 5 years ago. And one co-employee of his 5 years ago was like set to retire in a month or something and contracted COVID and died. And never got to retire. I mean, and there were sad stories like that all over the place then, back mm-hmm. in the day. So, I think obviously everyone needs to make up their own mind about that. But get your COVID vaccines. This is my opinion.
I completely agree. And really, it's amazing what things make you higher risk that people don't think of. Not having a whole lot of physical activity, being a little bit overweight. Those are two things that are fairly common in our communities, and those make you higher risk. And so you might be higher risk than you think.
Yeah. Let me take a break. We'll come right back with Dr. Santina Wheat and answer your questions on the phone, 312-981-7200 on our text line. Same number, 312-981-7200. 9:53, The Week in Health with Dr. Santina Wheat with us, Program Director, McGaugh Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. From our text line, 312-981-7200. We were just talking about this, Dr. Wheat, a few minutes ago, about going to the Bears game today. Ask Dr. Wheat her thoughts of being outside at Soldier Field in this cold weather for at least a three-hour Bears game.
Ooh, that does not sound like a great idea to me, but if you do go, I would just make sure you have lots and lots of layers and potentially to be able to switch out in case those bottom layers get wet so that you can make sure you're staying dry.
Oh, really? So if you begin to perspire under layers,
exactly,
you need to swap that out. So you need to sort of bring a change of clothes.
Yeah, especially for your socks and your gloves, I would want to make sure you can switch them out so that everything can stay dry, because the cold plus the wet would make it even worse.
Okay, all right. 708 area code, we're getting into that time of year of holiday stress, shopping, family get-togethers, parties. What advice do you have to avoid holiday stress?
So I think that this is really different for everyone. And I think that the first thing that I would say is remember your own boundaries. Remember what is reasonable for you and try not to let peer pressure or family pressure get in the way. And so making sure that you're taking time to rest yourself, that you're taking time for yourself, because we are often surrounded by more people during the holiday times. And then making sure that you're really resting, that you are eating well as much as you can. We mentioned the hot toddies earlier, trying to not overindulge because that can actually make the stress feel worse. And really just say no sometimes to some of those events.
Yeah.
And just take that time for yourself.
A very wise person once told me about this very same thing, where, you know, there may be a sibling relationship which is not the greatest, and you know a fight's going to break out, or a parental relationship where you know that something is going to happen, or a work relationship, or, you know, something where you know that there could wind up being some holiday stress. This very wise person told me those are no-win situations, and the only way to win a no-win situation is to not play. Not play. Not exactly what Dr. Wheat said. Avoid those situations if you know that they are definitely going to happen.
And if you find yourself in them, unfortunately, then having a planned way to get out of them, to say, okay, I'm not going to talk about this, or to say, okay, it's time for our family to leave and we're going to go somewhere else, sort of have an exit plan that's right, ready for you.
Yeah, sometimes those buttons just get pushed, though. You know what I mean?
I do.
I think we can all relate to that. 773 area code says, in this cold weather, my sinuses begin to become quite painful. Is there something wrong? Is that natural in cold weather?
That, I will say, that's one that I haven't heard described that way before, but I have had people that in this cold weather do just feel their sinuses more often. It's not necessarily that something wrong, but it does make me want to make sure that you don't have cold weather allergies or something else going on. And so I would recommend that you try to do some of the sinus treatments, like the nasal saline spray, the nasal steroids, and if that is something that you normally deal with, and sort of not let up on it. Some people think that when we're in the winter, we don't need those treatments anymore, but we often still do, and that might help with some of the discomfort.
Sinus allergies, did you say?
Yeah, we can still get allergies in the winter. Some of it is more the indoor-based thing, so maybe it's mold, maybe it's dust, maybe it's other things that are in your household. And so some people's allergies are actually worse in the winter than they are in the spring and summer.
Yeah, I was getting, back in the day, I used to get sinus infections all the time, all the time. And a ear, nose, and throat doctor recommended to me that I have sinus surgery. He said that you've had so many infections in your sinuses that there's scar tissue all over the place, and that's probably what was causing all of the infections. So I did have the surgery, and I don't think I've had a sinus infection since then. It was tremendously successful. Does that sound like good advice to you?
I mean, it sounds like great advice, especially since it helped you. But definitely, if you are someone who gets multiple sinus infections back to back, it is definitely worthwhile going to your friendly ENT and seeing if they can do some imaging to see if there have been some changes to your sinuses that need to be addressed, just like you just discussed. But if you're not that person that has had multiple infections, sometimes we can prevent them by doing some of the rinses, some of the allergy medications, and hopefully preventing it if you can.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, the saline rinse cleans things out pretty well, but there are other sprays that are that a lot of doctors will tell you don't use. Which are the ones that, not necessarily name brands, but what are the kinds of ones that you should avoid and why?
Well, there's some that are specifically marketed towards getting rid of the congestion. And the problem with them is that if you read the directions, they tell you to not use them more than 2 to 3 days. And that's really important because if you use them for longer than that, then you actually will start having the symptoms every time you don't use it. So your body doesn't learn how to deal with it on its own. And so you get more headaches, you get more sinus pressure because you aren't using it because it's almost, I don't want to say addicted to it, but your body has gotten used to it.
Yeah.
And so it's really important to only use those in very short scenarios. I usually only recommend it like if somebody has to get on a plane or something like that. Instead, I will recommend the other things like the steroids and the saline spray to help clean it out.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Santina Wheat, always good to talk to you. Stay warm today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, you too. Have a great week.
Yeah, so lots of serious stories that we are following today. Serious and tragic, you know, these shootings. They can tend to go by because they happen so often that, you know, you almost don't pay attention to them. But how disturbing at Brown University in Providence and the shooting that took place at the Hanukkah celebration in Australia. Really, really disturbing.
Yeah, the worst, they're calling the one in Australia the worst in that country in 30 years. They have very strict gun laws in Australia, banning assault weapons and so forth. But again, 11 people killed there. Police killed one of the shooters. They think two others may be involved, and they're, you know, they're completing the investigation on that. But it did take place at an event at Bondi Beach called Hanukkah by the Sea.
It's warm in Australia right now, right?
I would think it would be, yeah.
Isn't it Australian summer, basically?
Yeah, yes, because they're opposite us, you know, south of the equator. Yeah. So it would be, December would be summer there, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not summer around here.
No, it isn't.
Now, I miss days like this when we used to be on Michigan Avenue.
You do?
In the old dump Tribune Tower. Is that building still up or did they demolish it?
No, it's still there.
I know they were going to put a furniture, they were going to put a mattress store in there for a while.
I have to tell you. You know, you refer to it as
the old dump. It was.
Know, when Gilda, my girlfriend, was here for Thanksgiving, we drove by. Yeah. I wanted to show her the lights and the tree at Millennium Park.
And she said, what's that tenement building?
But we drove by Tribune Tower, and I slowed down and immediately thought of your standing line about the mattress store.
Yeah, right where the show,
where the showcase where the studio showcase used to be.
Yeah, people are always testing out mattresses in there.
We actually went in there a couple years ago after the building reopened.
As condos.
Yes. And
did you pretend to be looking to buy a condo?
No. I wanted to show her what the lobby looked like, and we knew we couldn't get beyond that. And it looks the same.
It's the best part of the whole building, that lobby.
Except for they had hotel-like or lounge-like lobby furniture in there. You know, a place to sit and, you know, some chairs, a table. That sort of thing.
Do they still have my sculpture of me in there?
No, that was taken down.
They took it down.
It is the sculpture of you.
My bust?
Oh, look at me.
They took down my bust. I can't believe they did that. First night of Hanukkah begins tonight at sunset. Festival of Lights. Like that. Some traditional music, the dreidel song, but I found, Shwani, I found a, I guess you would call it a non-traditional Hanukkah song to share that I love this morning. You know, the movie Wicked that's out there right now?
Yeah, happened to see both of them.
Oh, okay. Did you give me the review of the second one?
Basic review, yes.
You liked it,
the fact that we liked both versions, yes. Yeah. And also, you know, emphasizing that if you haven't seen it yet, see it on a very, very big screen, either IMAX or in 3D.
Yeah, biggest screen as possible.
Yeah, 3D is great.
So if you've seen it, then you'll probably enjoy this. That's a spoof of the Wicked song, Popular. singing of the latkes, little fried potato pancakes, so... for those celebrating, despite this tragedy that's happened in Australia, hope everybody can, you know, still have a wonderful 8 days. Great 8 days. Or as Adam Sandler put it, 8 crazy nights. I don't know if we're going to have time to this morning, but Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song.
Oh, that's right. You usually get that one.
It's still one of my favorites.
I'm still in my nostalgia. You know, old-time, older Christmas music thing that I've been in for the last couple of weeks.
Like what?
Well, that...
Like what, Rudy Valley?
Well, you're not far off. Well, the Nat King Cole...
I love Gene Autry.
I do. Yeah, Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
He had one other Christmas song. What was it?
There's another one.
Someone will remember. He sang Up on the Housetop.
Yeah.
Was that Gene Autry?
I think he did.
I think that was it.
That's a good
one. Up on the housetop, reindeer goes out, jumps good old Santa Claus.
Look at Tony going back to before either Shwani and I were born.
And then there's a song by another singer that almost no one would remember now. His name was Vaughn Monroe.
Oh, wow.
He did one of the original versions of Let It Snow.
Yeah.
Like from 1951 or something like that. So I've been in this mood where I don't know, reliving my childhood or something.
I've listened to like some of the super old ones, like the Bing Crosby's, not White Christmas, but some of the other ones that he did, like in the late 1930s, early 40s, like really super old Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And they're fun to hear. And then I get tired of them and I binge Mariah Carey for a little while.
Hear that one. You don't have to buy that one. You can hear it anywhere you go.
Yeah, I get it on my fillings.
Now, you said that has outsold White Christmas?
Yeah, that's the most, that is the most popular in terms of sales Christmas song of all time.
Isn't that something?
You know what? This week just turned number one on what they call the adult contemporary charts. That's sort of like adult rock. You know, that takes the super young kids music out of the mix. And it's like, you know, for older rockers. But on this adult...
Here's your senior citizens reference again.
Here's The on this Adele Contemporary chart, the number one song is by the group Pentatonix, you know, the a cappella group, and Frank Sinatra. They did one of those remix kind of deals.
Oh, okay.
Where they took a Frank Sinatra song and the Pentatonix accompanied it.
Do you have that handy?
I don't. You'd think I would, well, since I brought it up.
Now you brought it up. So. Thank you.
Let's see if we can find it. Eli, see if you can find that. Do a little search of Pentatonix and Sinatra. It's I can't even.
He had a Christmas album, didn't he?
Oh, he had many.
Frank Sinatra?
Sure.
Yeah.
Many Christmas albums. Many, many, many. There's many.
Great tracks. Version. There it is.
Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Swing, yes. Swing, you cats. Yeah. Sing it. Okay.
Do I need to put OB over this one, too?
Got my love to keep me warm. Isn't that nice?
That's great.
Number one on the adult contemporary charts.
That's
right now.
That's great.
Yeah. Love that. Let it go for a little bit.
I've got a very, very old version of this song with Billie Holiday also.
Wow. You play that on your phonograph?
I do. Yes.
The wax cylinder that you've got? I
turn the handle and...
Do you know what wax cylinders? Are you familiar with those?
Sure, I have some.
Before there were actual... records.
I have some.
What's a record, Uncle Dave? They had these cylinders literally made out of wax in which you could listen to music.
Right. I have a couple. I've never played them, but I have them. I found them in an antique store, and I thought, hey, this is pretty neat. I can use these as conversation pieces.
Hey, Uncle Dean, what are those two guys from the Muppet Show talking about? The two guys on the balcony that have a radio show on Sunday. What are they talking about? Last night was a big night. The final wrestling match for the great John Cena. He's one of the nicest guys. I've interviewed him many times because he's also a pretty popular actor also. So, you know, in my world, I've interviewed him as an actor, and he could not be a nicer, more cordial guy. But last night, he had his final WWE match last night. You follow wrestling at all, Schwani?
I have to say I don't. It's a world wrestling something. The WWE.
World Wrestling Entertainment.
Yeah.
World Wrestling Entertainment.
I'm going to say maybe you should brush up because I know we've got a year, but next year at Tree Time, you and I are going to put on a...
set up a wrestling match?
We're going to set up a boxing ring, and you and I are going to go at it.
Work out all of these animosities.
It's the return of the Bruiser and the Crusher. That's where my wrestling head is at.
I can see you getting out there in a pair of big shorts. And one of those sleeveless shirts they used to wear.
Wow, you have really visualized me in there, haven't you?
You are a wrestling fan, Schwani.
Wow.
You're going to be like Curly in the one where they were wrestling. And Mo looks at him and says, what's the matter, kid? You nervous?
Is that the one?
No, where, only in that leg.
Is that the one where he has to eat cheese? At
yes,
to,
yes.
Mo,
right.
Larry Cheese.
Right.
Mo, Larry Cheese.
Yes, that's the one.
These rabbit holes we go down. Producer Eli is a big wrestling fan. What would you say? How does John Cena place? I mean, he's considered one of the all-time greats, right?
Oh, yeah, he is. I mean, I'm willing to say he's the greatest of all time.
Oh, really?
And a lot of other people would back me up on that. It's become like his de facto nickname throughout this last year of his run in the WWE, where they just called him the GOAT to his face.
Yeah.
And everything from last night, it just felt really special in a way, knowing it was the last time we were going to see him.
Sure.
See this man in his 50s run down to a ring wearing jorts. And he lost.
He lost the match last night.
That was probably the part that hurt the most. I had a feeling he would lose, but I didn't think it would happen in the way that it did.
Yeah, I forget the name of the guy who was wrestling with him, but he got him in a chokehold.
Yeah, he was fighting a guy named Gunther, and the whole... Gunther made a promise the entire week saying he was going to make Cena tap out. And Cena's whole thing throughout his 25-year career is like he was never the guy to give up. He was always the inspiration of the kids.
Yeah.
Keep fighting, never tap out. And then at the end of his career, he just knew it was just time to hang it up. And he tapped out. It was kind of poetic. It was really sad.
In a way, I kind of respect that, though.
Yeah, it was the way that he wanted to go out. Yeah. And it's nice to see somebody go out on their own terms.
Well, they gave him a huge ovation coming in and going out as well.
I was wearing my John Cena shirt last night.
Were you really?
Yeah, in my bedroom. I was fighting back the tears myself.
Oh, how about that? Well, here. I mean, you're not going to hear anything except crowd noise, but this is a little sense of the pandemonium as John Cena. There he goes. I'm going to go down swinging. This was his entrance, actually. He's got a T-shirt, "The Last Time Is Now." Am I going to make you cry just playing this back?
I've got it all out of me by now.
You're getting a little emotional, I can tell you.
It's been my entire social media feed all night long.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
That was like my Superman since I was a little kid. So it's like saying goodbye to my childhood in a way.
A lot of these wrestling guys, though, I mean, they put these personas on of being, you know, villains. And has he always played the good guy? I don't know that much about his wrestling background.
He was always the ultimate hero, and then in his last year, this year, they tried to throw the Hail Mary, make something change, and they turned him evil right at the start of the beginning of this retirement run. And they didn't follow through the entire way through that. He ended up becoming a good guy again, but there was kind of like that fun what if he ever turns bad? Would he ever stop doing all the visits to the kids? Would he get rid of all the colorful merch? Would he stop running down to the ring and be like the cheerful guy? And
right.
I'm happy that he kept it that way, because I wouldn't have wanted that last match to be any different.
Did he ever wrestle Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Yeah, a couple times, actually.
He's like my other quasi-wrestling connection, because he's an actor.
Those were always the really big like WrestleMania-level matches, and like probably 10 years ago now, they went head-to-head, and it was one of the biggest matches of all time.
Yeah. Well, so he's just going to concentrate on acting now? Is that?
That's what it looks like.
How old is he, do you think?
I think he's about to turn 50 this year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's probably not a good age to be thrown around.
Yeah, throwing yourself at the ground for a living, it's got to stop at a certain point.
Yeah. Schwani, you probably should pay attention to that, Schwani, as well.
I am listening.
Because I'm gonna mop you up on the wrestling ring when we do this next year.
I was going to say, is Schwani going to have to tap out?
No, he's going to tap out.
Never give up, Schwani.
He may have to tap out this morning. I said that you and I were going to be the new Bruiser and Crusher.
Yeah.
Someone from the 815 area code says, more like bruised and crushed.
Yes, that's true.
Maybe you and I should tag team. Maybe we should be... You know, we could take on, like, Lisa Dent and Mary Vandeveld. I think we could beat them. Do you think?
Well, matches, maybe.
Maybe not. No, they would be one tag team.
They would be one tag team?
Yeah.
Okay. There's another tag team waiting to come into the studio that might be a little feisty,
yeah,
too.
We could take them on, too. We'll take on Lisa Dent and Mary Vandeveld first. And if we win, and there's a pretty good chance we may not.
I think so.
Then we'll take on Hamp and OB. I'm afraid of them right now. I'm going to leave the studio early now to avoid that conflict there. Edward, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
So give us this big news. This is major.
Well, Ian McKellen is coming to do a benefit at Chicago Shakespeare Theatre to support our work with young people and our particular educational work with Shakespeare. And he's also doing a free performance for 600 students and teachers who can enjoy exactly the same performance he gives as a benefit, but for free. Yeah, so this is a wonderful expression from him. I think it's our shared belief here that it's every young person's right to have access to Shakespeare and to the shared experience of theater.
Yeah, and to have one of the greatest actors performing it is an incredible opportunity for these kids, but also anyone lucky enough to get a ticket to this benefit to see Sir Ian McKellen performing live. I mean, people know him as Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. They know him from the X-Men movies. They know him from a variety of roles. But his Shakespearean work is really some of the greatest that has ever been performed, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, no doubt. I mean, he has been in some landmark productions. I remember myself when I was a teenager seeing him play Macbeth with Dame Judi Dench, playing Lady Macbeth. And it being, it changed my perception of Shakespeare and made me feel like he was a modern writer and a writer for me.
Yeah,
he's been extraordinary with his work with the Bard. And I think at Chicago Shakes, as we are moving forward, we're expanding our work with Shakespeare. And Ian wants to support that. And he hasn't been back to Chicago, I don't think, for 40 years. So it's a big moment for us. It's a big and great moment to Chicago. And it's a great expression for me and everyone at the theater of everything that we want to bring to Chicago and to the Chicago theater scene with the programming and the work we're doing on Lady Pierre.
It is. It's going to be epic. Truly, you know, one of a kind night. In Chicago to have somebody like him, but, you know, certainly one of the great theater events in Chicago in decades. I mean, I can't think of anything more epic than this. When will he be appearing?
He will be appearing for his public performance on January the 30th, and the student performance will be the night before January the 29th.
And how, if one were to try to get a ticket for this benefit, are they still available?
Well, you can go to our website and try, or I think there may be a waiting list. But tickets have been going, as you can imagine, pretty swiftly.
Yeah, and the best way to do it, chicagoshakes.org, if I'm remembering just right off the top of my head, right?
Yeah, that's right.
ChicagoShakes.org for the great Sir Ian McKellen, 86 years old, and, you know, keeping this kind of schedule and traveling and performing. He is truly one of a kind. Thank you for coming on and joining us and sharing the information, Edward. We really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. When we come back from the break, the actor who completely blew me away with his performance on our WGN-TV Midday News the other day, Isaiah Bailey is his name. He plays Phantom in the production of Phantom of the Opera that's here in Chicago right now. Wait until you hear him sing. That's coming up next. That's from the 2004 film version of Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera. The actor Patrick Wilson as Raoul, opposite Emmy Rossum in the film, playing Christine. And one of the great musicals of all time. That is no exaggeration whatsoever. Phantom of the Opera is back in Chicago again, this time at the Cadillac Palace Theater, and will be playing there through February the 1st. And I had the pleasure of meeting the other day and being blown away by his amazing performance. Isaiah Bailey, who plays Phantom, we're going to play that performance for you in a minute, and I think you'll agree with me that it's one of the most magnificent performances that you've ever heard. Isaiah, I just can't give you enough compliments, my friend. How are you?
You are so kind. I'm doing well. How are you?
You're surviving this beautiful weather that we're having in Chicago right now. I think you told me you're from Little Rock. I don't believe you have this kind of weather in Little Rock, right?
Not like this. It is very different, but I am I am trying to endure it with a smile because I love Chicago and I know it is a part of Chicago, so I have to accept all of Chicago.
Yeah,
so
you're
accepting the weather.
You're going to be here through February 1st as well, so you better accept the weather.
That's the truth.
You have no choice about that.
That is so true.
So how are things going so far? You opened just the other day, I think, what, Thursday?
Thursday, yes.
Officially
performance.
Opened. This is not the first stop on your tour, so you guys have some momentum going in, but you're at that beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater. How are things going?
Things are going so well. It seems as if the audiences are really enjoying what they are experiencing in the show, and it's been so beautiful to be here in Chicago to share this story. I'm having the time of my life. I love Chicago, and I love the Cadillac Palace. This is my second time being there, and so it's such a blessing to be here to be sharing the story.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, with the show that has been around as long as Phantom has been around, how do you bring life into this? Not that it's ever gone away and needs to come back, but do you look at it as, you know, having to redesign it, refurbish it, put a new coat of paint on it, something?
I see it as the show itself is an amazing stencil, and when you have different actors who've never done the show before, and even some who have done the show before, they bring a different, I would say, a different color to the stencil that's already so beautiful, and it just makes the picture even more beautiful because there's a freshness or a different, essence that each of us bring individually to the story while still remaining true to what the story is, being true to the music. It's just different only because we are fresh cast that really excited about telling the story. And of course, you know, the show itself is already a spectacle, but our amazing company just takes the story, I think, to another level just because of the essence of who they are.
Yeah, I'm told that this is the first time that a production of Phantom is touring that is based on the very original production of Phantom. First time since 2010. So first time in 15 years that they've gone back to the roots of the original production and portraying it the way that it was originally intended to be seen.
Yes, that's true, and it's so exciting because I know people are missing having this show on Broadway, and so being able to have the original design touring the country, making it available for more people to see, I think it's just so so exciting because it it's a story that people love. And I think more people who have never seen this show before are going to fall in love with it too, because it's just that type of story that it just draws people.
Yeah, and talking about the original production, that means that all the bells and whistles that we associate with Phantom are all included in this as well. People have been asking me about the chandelier, especially.
Yes. The chandelier is here.
Yeah. Explain, just production-wise, what people will see on stage when they come to see this, because it's rather lavish.
Yes. Of course, as you mentioned, the chandelier travels with us. We have the famous masquerade stairs in this production, and a cool aspect of our show is our Pegasus, which was actually Maria Bornton's original design for the end of Act One on Broadway. It was more so in the Broadway production there was the huge Pegasus, but in our show we have a huge Pegasus that you'll see at the end of Act One. And the cool thing about that is that it was something that was a part of Maria's original design. And so having known that and being able to implement that into our show, I think is really, really special to, of course, give honor to the amazing Maria and all those that helped create this beautiful story.
Yeah. So many actors have played the Phantom through the years.
Yes.
Do you draw from those other performances? Do you go into this, trying to make this completely your own? How do you approach that as an actor?
That's a great question. I, of course, have watched many of Phantoms and have idolized many of them and have been mentored by some as well, and it's been such a blessing. But with that, I try my best not to imitate.
Yeah.
Thank you. imitate what others have done, only because it's not truly who I am as an actor, and being true to who I am while also being respectful to the story and to the music that's been so beautifully written for us, just breathing what I can breathe into it without trying to make it sound or look like someone else's, because I want this to be as real for the audience members as it is real for me. And so me giving myself, my total self to this without, imitating someone else is very important to me. And I think in the end is important to the audience because they want to see authenticity. And, and many times, people are like, they want to hear things, the way they've always heard it, but you don't know what you don't know until you know it. And so I think them experiencing, something that they've never seen before, I think is important to the artistry and to the story as well.
Well, people who come to see this are going to experience something like they've never seen before in your performance. You completely blew us away, and literally, I'm not kidding, had me in tears listening to you sing Music of the Night, which we're going to play in just a moment. But you've got lots of history in theater. You were Mufasa in Lion King. You were in the Carol King musical. You've been in Jesus Christ Superstar. You've been in Frozen, the musical. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So not surprising. And you grew up. I mean, just in reading your biography, you grew up in theater. It's been a part of you forever. So I guess I'm not surprised, but I really was, that your performance was so moving, which we'll share in just a minute. I hope you're enjoying Chicago while you're here. Have you gotten out to be able to do anything while you're here? But has it been all work for you since you came here?
It's been, I've had the opportunity to do a few things earlier this week before we opened up. My birthday was this week, so I got a chance to experience some restaurants and going to be experiencing more restaurants. And I really want to try to tour as much of Chicago as I can, because I am always here in the wintertime and I just don't like the winter, but I'm going to tough it out this time.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to get to know Chicago even more.
Well, later on this week, it's going to be much more pleasant than it is today.
Yes,
apparently, it's going to be in the 50s this week, so it's going to seem like summertime to all of us, I think.
Yes.
I'm
looking forward to that.
See Phantom of the Opera at the beautiful Cadillac Palace Theater on Randolph Street. It's playing now through February 1st. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com for ticket information. Isaiah Bailey, really appreciate you coming on and joining us, especially on a two performance day, to chat with us. I hope you have
it's my honor, a
great time, and I hope we get to talk again before while you're here in Chicago. Thank you, Isaiah, very much.
Yes, thank you so much, and thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You do the same. And ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this incredible performance, Isaiah Bailey as Phantom in Phantom of the Opera.